Our first scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Our second reading is taken from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God: by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. This is God's holy word.
Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for your holy word, and we thank you for the teaching of your word. And Lord, now I pray for listening ears. I pray for your Spirit to interact with each of us, that from this moment we would go out and we would be more loving of you and more loving of one another. In Christ we pray. Amen. A brief recap from last Sunday when we looked at John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, when we looked at the true vine as Jesus, and God being the gardener, and followers, disciples, Christians being the branches, and how that vine, that branch, describes the relationship, defines the relationship that God wants us to have with him. To know he as the gardener, where he cuts off branches and he prunes. And the reason for that pruning is to be more fruitful. And so the things that happen in our lives can prune us to be even more faithful and more fruitful to the Lord. And one of the key phrases in those first eight verses was to remain in me. And that's the symbolism of the vine, to be connected, to acknowledge Jesus Christ as the true vine of life, to remain in Jesus Christ. That sets us apart from the world, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we look at today's lesson. But to remain in Jesus Christ causes us to bear much fruit, so that we can show ourselves to be disciples of Jesus. Those first eight verses, which is kind of the setup for the verses 9 through 17 that we've read this morning. And this byword here is, now remain in my love. And to remain in the love of Jesus Christ calls us to be obedient. To be obedient. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Sometimes we think that we have come to Jesus Christ and we have accepted him as Lord and Savior, but really ours is a response, because Jesus has chosen us as his disciples. And as he has chosen us and as we have responded, he calls us to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Not the fruits of, quote, the secular world, but the fruits of love, the fruits of grace, the fruits of relationship and being connected with God and with one another, fruits that will last. And then in the middle of the passage is verses 12 through 14, and the writer in Jesus, it makes it very simple for us to understand. You really can't debate what Jesus wants us to be about. Verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. That's why we have to remain connected to Jesus, because to know love, we have to know how Jesus loved and loves. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And certainly the willingness to lay down our lives, just as Jesus loved and laid down his life on the cross, it also means that we have to sacrifice. I think in the video you heard the word sacrifice a couple of times. We have to be willing to sacrifice for those that we love and for those that we don't love now, but we're called to love, that we have that willingness to give of ourselves for the blessing of others. And then Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command. It doesn't do anyone any good to hear the word and not follow through in doing what he has commanded. And in verse 17, it's the command once again. This is my command, love each other. Simple. We're done. A 5-minute sermon for once. We can just go out and we can love. Is it that simple? No, it's pretty difficult to love one another, isn't it? We know this is what we're supposed to be about, but how do we actually go out and love? It's why we have to remain in Jesus' love. How a Christian has that joy is to be obedient to Christ. It means we have to be constant. We have to have the love of Christ constantly in mind so that we can love one another. To remain with Jesus prepares us for the hatred of the world. It's very interesting as you look at John chapter 15, in these first 17 verses, it's about remaining, it's about love. But then as we look at verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. The world is full of hate, and that is opposite of what God wants us to be about. We are to remain faithful in loving, not loving the things of the world, not loving as the world loves, but loving as Christ loves. Love is the relationship that unites Christians together as branches are united to a vine. And that relationship calls us to have obedience, which will result in joy. And that's the spontaneity of life. It's the happiness of life. I love that youngest Krukowski. You know, just that burst of laughter. Spontaneity and happiness. The Christian love is not burdensome, it's not boring, but it sets the tone for our attitude of one another. To remember at all times that Jesus has chosen us to be his disciples. But unfortunately, we live in a world where there is hate. Hate is the opposite of love. Hate is a strong dislike. It's a better way to say it, right? A strong dislike, or hate is having an ill will towards someone else. I don't like that person. I want them to experience this problem. Having an ill will towards someone else. Love and hatred are opposed to each other. How do we not hate? We remain connected to the vine. We remain in the throes, in the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. Hatred. Hatred is a tangible measurement of the evil in the world. Hatred is a tangible measurement of evil in the world. There's a lot of hatred out there, isn't there? And if we're honest with ourselves, I trust that we have all experienced hate. Maybe some of us are experiencing hate right now. Maybe we have that ill will towards someone else. But that ugliness of hatred is not what Jesus Christ calls us to have. We have to have the attitude of love, that no matter what someone throws at us, our response must be love. How have Christians responded to the pandemic? Had a conversation with somebody this morning about the disasters that come our way and what God allows in our life. That includes the pandemic. And I'm not here to debate what's right and what's wrong and all those kind of good things, but how have we as Christians responded to the pandemic? I know that I have had thoughts and words of hatred expressed towards me over how we've responded. The pandemic has sown disunity. The pandemic has caused Christians to oppose each other. The pandemic has caused Christians to condemn other Christians, even of the same congregation or other churches. The pandemic has caused hatred. But remember, hatred is opposite of what Jesus calls us to do. What does he command us to do? To love one another. So what are we supposed to do? Those of you that are baseball fans, I watch a little bit of baseball, still have never really figured out retaliation and those unwritten rules of the game. Of one pitcher's upset at the other team or what the other team has done, so what do? They throw that bean ball and they nail the next batter. That's hatred. I understand it's part of the game, but that's hatred. In the sense of what we are trying to extend here, ill will towards another. And it's interesting that that can happen at certain levels of the game, but not at other levels of the game. I mean, what happens when there's a fight on the football field in high school? It's quickly taken care of. And in professional sports, that might be cheered. And we have become accustomed to that. Remember, I was a wrestler at one point. I like that kind of opposition at times, but yet it was never for ill will toward another person. But the world has gotten used to it. Our response to the pandemic is to take the testings and the trials that we experience in love. Not ill will, not condemnation, not disunity, but love to understand that we can have two different attitudes, we can have two different viewpoints, and yet that shouldn't divide us. We should love one another. Do we choose when to obey the scriptures? When it says, the command is love each other, do we choose when to obey and when not to? Remain connected at all times. Talking about the sports world is one thing. What about the hate that has been experienced over the issue of abortion? Or the hate that has been experienced over same-gender marriage? I know what my views are, but that doesn't mean that I should have ill will towards anybody that has a different view. The scripture doesn't tell who to love and who not to love. It says, love each other. To have those conversations over tough issues and the realities of life, not with ill will or hatred or you're right or you're wrong, but for understanding, for common ground. And that common ground is the love of Jesus Christ. And as we remain connected to the vine, as God prunes us and shapes our love, I know that when it comes to abortion and same-gender marriage and hatred in the world, I have to leave that in God's hands because I'm human. I don't know it all. And I have to rely on those conversations when I have with people about any of this. I have to rely on the words of the Spirit that He'll put in my mind in that conversation. What Jesus is describing is not as a servant, but as a friend, he says. For what purpose? To befriend one another is to come together. To come together as Christians in the love of Christ. This is so simple. It's spelled out in these 17 verses, summarized with love each other. It's easy to preach on. Hopefully it's easy to hear. What's the hard part? It comes in about 10 minutes. When we go from listening to actually doing. And that's where we have to humble ourselves before the Lord and rely upon His grace. I've said it a few times, and I know I have to go out and continue to repair relationships that I have with people, that there's disunity or brokenness. But it begins with us. It begins with each one of us in whatever relationship that we may have. To know that Christ loves us. And He calls us, He commands us to love one another. Don't give up when it's hard. Keep reading, keep praying, and keep doing. Because we are connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ Himself. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is number 556. Now thank we all our God. After the spoken benediction, we'll conclude with number 608, May the Grace. If you are able, please rise as we conclude our service.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Amen.